Father, I thank you. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will take control of this room today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be with us, guide us, direct our thoughts, direct our words. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. So let it be on here this morning. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to share a lesson, a reminder again. Some lesson that we've shared before, but at this time that people are always going through, I thought I'd bring this lesson about God's promises for us to have peace, to have rest, have quietness, and to have assurance. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to just be reading through some scriptures and we'll be talking through them and see what the Lord is saying for us or to us as we read through these scriptures. Praise the Lord. God always wants us to have rest. He wants us to have quietness. Wants us to have peace and assurance. I'm going to start here in Isaiah chapter 32. I'm going to read verses 17 and 18. Praise the Lord. So, in this chapter, the word of the Lord comes to us to give us assurance of what the Lord wants us to have in quietness, in peace, and so forth. So let's read it together. I'm reading from the King James, Isaiah 32 and verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. So let's see all the things that the Lord promised in this couple of verses. He promised peace. He promised quietness. He promised assurance. And also rest. So this is our key scripture this morning. This is where that is taken from. But there's a lot of scriptures around these four concepts that God has given us and is promising us. We have promises of peace, promises of quietness, promises of assurance, and promises of rest. So I'm just going to go through the scriptures and read through some of these promises. Now, the scriptures may not be organized in that order of peace, quietness, assurance, and rest. More or less be organized in just walking through the scriptures to see what the Lord has to say on any four of these subjects. Praise the Lord. In the book of Exodus, chapter 33 and verse 14, we read a promise. And as we're reading through this, you know, just appropriate these promises for yourself and claim these promises. The Lord said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. And that's a point blank promise that the Lord has given us. So we can claim that promise of his presence and rest. There's a rest that comes from his presence being with us. It's also a confidence that he's with us. You know, that takes away anxiety, or should take away anxiety. The psalmist said, "The Lord is with me. I will fear no evil." You know, I can go through the valley of shadow of death or this and that. I will fear no evil. I have that confidence, that rest in my mind, because I know the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff that comfort me. Praise the Lord. So, that's a promise of rest, promise of his presence as well. My presence will go with you. Well, today we have his presence always with us through the Holy Spirit. Back in those days, the Lord had to visit them, you know, he would visit them at different times. But today we have the Holy Spirit with us. What an advantage that we have to know that because his presence is always with us, therefore we have rest. We should have rest. And the real rest that we have today comes from the Holy Spirit. It's the one that can assure our hearts of calmness, quietness, and peace. So that's a powerful scripture to use for yourself in your prayers. Say, "Lord, you said your presence will go before me today, and that you will give me rest. So as you get into the day, so let it be." Praise the Lord. Now, let's read a declaration. We read this the other day, but here's a declaration of what you know, Joshua said as how the Lord gave the people rest. You know, but before I read that one, there's one other scripture I want to read here. Let me read this in Leviticus 23:23. The Lord says, "You will have a," he was talking about a Sabbath, a blowing of rest and so forth. And today I want to talk briefly about the real Sabbath that we have. You know, they had a commandment in the day of, you know, back then to blow the trumpet in a certain month, and that month will be a month of rest for them. Well, we don't need to wait today until a certain month, or until a certain day of the week, in order to have rest. The Lord has spoken to us of rest. In the book of Hebrews, let's compare that quickly with this blow the trumpet thing. In their day, they had to wait till a certain time and a certain day for them to have rest. But even the rest that God promised them, well, they really couldn't get into it. Because Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, just as those people who received the word, but because it wasn't mixed with faith in their heart, well, they could not enter into this rest that God had promised." But now he tells us that we which have believed, now this is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3, "We which have believed do enter into rest." So rest is not just one day a week anymore, you know, Sabbath day. Rest is not just one month a year, now the month of rest, the seventh month that they were to blow the trumpet. Rest is for us now. all the time because we have believed. He said, those of us who have believed have entered into his rest. Now, the people at first, you know, that this promise was given to could not enter into his rest because of unbelief. Well, but every promise of God must be attained by somebody. Therefore, it remained that some must enter in. He continues his argument in verse 6. Because those that for whom it was once preached did not enter in, and now it remained that some must enter in. Because those others did not enter in because of unbelief. So now, we are told that today, if you hear his voice, like we will be sharing through all these promises, then do not harden your hearts. At that time, Joshua could not give them rest. He wanted them to believe with him. They couldn't do it. You know, but there remained a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest has ceased from his own labors, even as God did for us. I mean, even as God did from his. God, you know, was showed that he rested on the seventh day from his works. And I think I've already explained that multiple times. Now, let us therefore labor. This is what they call an oxymoron of sorts. You do something that's opposite of what you're trying to do in order to get there. You know, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. I mean, are you laboring to enter into rest? Well, it means strive. Strive to enter into that rest. Contend for it. You know, lest any man should fail of the same example of unbelief. We talked yesterday of those blockers that contradict the word of promise. There's a word of promise for us today of entering into his rest. You know, God wants us to enjoy rest. Some of us are troubled on every side. Paul said we are troubled on every side, but God wants you to have rest. You know, so we must strive and contend for that rest. Praise the Lord. And just so that we know that the rest that God gives us now is not just one day out of the week, but it is more with us all day long because and every day because the Holy Spirit is now with us. So God has given us this powerful promise of rest. And this is how Joshua declared it. This is the one I was going to read. Joshua 21, 44 to 45. We read this yesterday. His declaration of how that God was faithful and gave his people rest from all sides, you know. And this is Joshua chapter 21, verse 44. And the Lord gave them rest round about. Well, finally, those who believed entered into his rest. The first group did not believe. They would not come along with Joshua. But another group came, a new generation believed, and they entered in. But it still wasn't real rest. They still had, you know, all kinds of troubles. But now Jesus is giving us real rest. But nevertheless, Joshua said, the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he spake and swear to their fathers. You know, there stood not a man, you know, in front of them of all their enemies. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. And so the Lord gave them rest at that time. And he has also promised us rest at this time. Praise the Lord. Let's read what the psalmist said about rest. In the book of Psalm 4 and verse 8, say, trust in the Lord, you know, for your peace, for your rest, and for your safety. You know, so these are promises that we must get a hold of and use in believing the Lord for every part of our day. For I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. And so this man had confidence of peace, even quietness in his sleep. He knew that the Lord is with him and he will dwell in safety. Is that your testimony as well? Do you know that the Lord will give you rest and he will be with you? Psalm 23 verse 3. He restoreth my soul. What does that mean? Well, that means when your soul is troubled, the Lord can restore and give you rest and quietness and assurance. Restore your soul into a place of rest instead of a place of agitation. There's no need for us to be agitated. There are a lot of factors that may bring agitation, but God wants us to have rest. Psalm 46 and verse 10 talks about that place of rest and quietness. That's where we can experience the power and the presence of God. This is one of the reasons why God wants us to have that rest, and that's quietness. You know, he says, be still and know that I am God. You can't really experience the fullness of his presence unless we enter into quietness. Be still, he said, and know that I am God. Psalm 127 verse 2, the Lord gives his people rest and sleep. He talks about, look, you know, all the labor that the devil puts upon us that makes us to do more and get less. Well, he called it out by saying, it is vain for you to do more only to get less. What God would rather have us do is do what we need to do, and but the Lord can bless it. A little one in his hand can become a thousand. A small one can become a strong nation. Rather than the opposite of doing more only to get less. Earning money only to put it into a bag of holes. That's not what God wants for us. You know, so this is how the psalmist puts it. He said, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. It takes you the whole day to earn your wages, and yet at the end of it, it's a bread of sorrows. You know, that's vain. The Lord wants us to have rest and sleep and quietness. And when I know that many of us, sometimes we have to, look for more, because maybe one job we have isn't quite doing it. So we have to take on this and take on that, you know, but don't do it to the place where it takes away your peace and your rest, because God wants you to have rest at sleeping at night, be restful and so forth. If we have to work two jobs or three jobs or however long, you know, just in order to eat the bread of sorrows, that's not a blessing from the Lord. The blessing from the Lord will give you quietness and peace. God will make sure you have enough, and not the kind that will prevent you, like Pharaoh said, let there be more burdens laden upon them so they will not have time. Not that kind. That kind is not from the Lord. The one that is from the Lord will give you, allow you opportunity to have rest and sleep. He giveth his beloved rest and sleep. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what God wants us to have. Hallelujah. And at the end of the day, when we do our work, when we earn our salary or whatever, or the proceeds from your business, you know, let's look upon it as a token of a blessing from the Lord. You know, put it back in God's hands for a great blessing. You know, sometimes a little can go much farther when we put it into the hands of the Lord. You know, one woman came to the prophet. He said, well, what do you have in your house? He said, well, all I have is just a little pot of oil. So, well, that's enough. Go borrow vessels from your neighbors and bring in and pour. There was a blessing that was put on the little that she had. God blessed it to take away her anxiety. You know, so another woman said, well, I have nothing in the house except this little flour and this oil. And I'm going to bake our last meal and we're going to eat it and we're going to die. And that prophet said, well, nobody is dying today. God is going to deal with that anxiety. You go do as you said, but bring me something first. For thus saith the Lord, the cruse of oil will not fail. The barrel of meal will not waste. You know, and so forth. And the Lord took the little that she had and took away the anxiety. Anxiety can really hurt our quality of life. Anxious, and that's why God wants us to have rest. Anxiety. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? Jesus talked about these things in Matthew chapter 6. He said, these are the things that the heathen are constantly after. It's about the Lord. He knows you have need of these things. And he wants to take away that anxiety. And part of the time is we look at anxiety. I mean, we have this anxiety because we look at the little that we have as not being enough. And it brings undue stress. But when you put it in the hands of the master, we know the stories of Jesus feeding, you know, the multitudes, as people said. And I always say that, well, Jesus himself did not feed any of the multitudes. It was actually his disciples that fed the multitudes. But as the story goes anyway, or these stories, you know, there was just a little here and there that they took. In one case, it was a small boy that offered up his lunch or whatever his mom had packed for him. And the disciples said, but what are these among so many? And there was the anxiety. Where shall we get enough money to buy the bread to feed all these people? There's always anxiety. But if we take the little that we have and put it in God's hands, you can put a blessing on it. Jesus put a blessing on that thing and he put it back in the hands of the apostles. That's all Jesus did. And he just walked away. But they put it in Jesus' hands. He put a blessing on it. They put it back in their own hands and commanded them to feed the people. And so it was the disciples that actually fed the people. But it took away the anxiety. Where shall we have money enough? Even 200 pence of worth of, you know, bread is not enough to feed these people. Where do we have that kind of money? Jesus said, you know, bring what you have. Praise God. And put a blessing on it. I pray that we will be able to trust the Lord to put a blessing on our finances. Even if you think it's little, God can put a blessing on it to the point where it takes away the anxiety. You know, this is one of the things I'm trying to focus on today is this anxiety. You know, get rid of the anxiety. Praise the Lord. Anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. It causes a lot of stress. Let's keep reading and see some of the other things that the Lord said. The Lord will give you rest in Isaiah 14. I want to read about 5 verses or so. Isaiah chapter 14, starting from verse 3 or so. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage that Satan put upon you, cause you to have more labor so you won't have time, made you to serve and do more of these things. Well, it shall come to pass in that day that you will be able to take up this proverb against the Assyrian, the king of Babylon, the oppressor and all the devil that put labor upon you. And you will be able to sing this song and say, how has the oppressor ceased? Glory to God. Because God will take care of you and give you quietness and rest. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers, smote the people in wrath, and so forth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet, and it shall break forth into singing. Now, this is what the Lord wants us to have. You know, you lay down and rest, you are able to have quietness because the Lord breaks the staff of Midian and the oppressor and the Assyrian and all of these things and gives you rest from oppression and from the burdens that the devil tries to put upon us every day. The Lord is good. Jesus himself said in Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, all ye that labor, you know, you labor and you are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. You know, why is he always speaking about rest and peace? Well, it's because it's important, because Jesus, God knows that we need that rest. I'm going to talk about why we need it in a minute. You know, but he wants us to come. If you're laboring and you're struggling, you have anxiety, all of these things are the things that take away our rest. You know, anxiety over how do I pay my bills? How do, you know, my children, this and that, and so forth. And these things strangulate our peace, try to choke the peace out of us. Jesus promises you rest. Bring it unto me. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, for he careth for you. In one place, Jesus even told his disciples about physical rest. See, not just emotional rest and rest from stress, you know, emotional stress, even rest from physical stress. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus admonishes his disciples to take time out and rest, you know, because they were going and coming and they were so busy with one thing or the other, and they did not even have leisure to eat. That's what the Bible said. They were going, coming, and they have no leisure, not even so much as to rest or eat. And so Jesus observed it, and he said, look, you are going to wear yourself out. Come apart to a desert place and rest a while. So they did that so-called retreat. That's where the idea of retreat comes from. Take time out and rest. Even physical rest can bring, you know, a form of replenishing in our body, in our mind. You know, when our body is rested, translates to a lot of things. You know, now Jesus also talked about peace that we can have. You know, the peace of God is supposed to give us rest. All of these things work together. Jesus promised, he said, my peace I give unto you, John 14 and 27. Not as the world gives, I give it to you. The world didn't give it to you, so the world can't take away from you what I give you. But it's tribulation everywhere, John 16 and 33. In the world, as long as you are here, you're going to have all these things that try to take away your peace, your quietness, your rest, you know, but you need to have assurance of the promises of God to give you peace and rest. where we have challenges of ill health in the family, you take away your rest. As you're running up and down, you're going to hospital, you're doing this. There was a woman. We know her story now as the woman with the issue of blood. Well, she had no rest for many years. I mean, upwards of 12 years, she went everywhere. I mean, from one doctor to another. I mean, she spent her living, you know, the Bible says, with, you know, her living over time with all doctors. She went from one place to another. I mean, this story is in 3 different places in the Gospels. You know, it's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke. And it talked about, you know, this woman, 12 years, she had no rest and spent a lot of her living even on doctors and still was not made any better. References in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. There's another reference in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34, and so on. This woman had no rest. She was troubled. She had even spent a lot of time and energy and money for 12 years going up and down. But one day, she got rest. Hallelujah. She got rest by revelation, by inspiration of the Almighty, that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, glory to God, I will be made whole. What is the thing that the Holy Spirit is giving you inspiration about? He may tell you something that you need to do in order for him to bring you to that place of rest. The Holy Spirit wants to take away the anxiety, the rest, you know, and, you know, the agitation in our lives. But he's going to do it by bringing you into a place of rest. Hallelujah. That's how he does it. So many stories in the Bible where people are struggling with many things. There's peace that God wants us to have when we are going through various things that trouble us. You know, some people say, what keeps you up at night? Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He said, be anxious for nothing, agitation and so forth. It's not going to really help you. It's not your anxiety and it's not your agitation that God answers. It's your faith. You know, so instead of the agitation and all of this, you know, find a way to bring yourself into calmness. You know, quietly present your situation to God with thanksgiving, remembering what he's already done in other situations. And he says, and the peace of God passes understanding. So God's purpose is for us to have peace. When we have things that trouble us, that would bring anxiety to our minds, that will bring agitation and unrest. Well, the Lord says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's something we have to practice. It's not easy. It doesn't come easy, but you practice it. You commit it unto the Lord. You thank him for what is already done. You commit it unto the Lord, and God promises us peace. Didn't say, and the Lord will solve the problem, whether he solves it or not, he will give you peace. Hallelujah. Actually, he wants you to take care of it. And you can. Spiritual maturity, you know, shows us and demands that, you know, it's not every little thing we have to go cry to the master and say, Master, don't you care that we perish? Jesus said, I thought you could take care of that. You know, I expected you to take care of it. I didn't expect you to be agitated just because the storm was coming. And so The Lord expects certain things of us. He expects us to have peace. He wants us to have peace. And you need to know how to use that peace for yourself. You know, even in the midst of whatever we are going through, we can have that peace. And the peace of God, pastor, understand, because people think, how can you have peace, you know, while you're going through this? How can you have such quietness and such assurance and rest? Well, because that's what the Lord promised. My people shall have quietness and assurance forever. They shall dwell in quiet resting places. That's what God wants. In the midst of all the tumult and all the anxiety that would naturally have come, God wants us to have peace. You know, praise the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, the God of peace himself shall give you peace by all means. I mean, what does by all means mean? I mean, you know, God, there's no extent to which God cannot go to assure that you have that peace. You know, in order that the word of the Lord might come to pass, which he has promised you, my presence shall go with you and I will give you peace. In order that the word of the Lord shall come to pass, that he has promised that, you know, the kind of peace I give you, the world cannot give. I mean, in order that the word of the Lord shall come to pass, where he said, my people shall dwell in quiet rest and play. All these promises, the Lord will see to it by all means. Whatever he needs to do to cause that word to come to pass for you, he will do. And we need to give ourselves this confidence and this assurance. Remember, there remaineth a rest for the people of God, and God wants us to have that rest. Now, why does God want us to have quietness and rest? Well, let's talk about it for a few minutes. In the book, in the beginning, well, we see how God showed us the pattern of walk and rest. I mean, he did some work for several days, and then we're told that, you know, the Lord rested from his works. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, as described in the previous chapter. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So God showed us this pattern. You know, you can't just go on and on and on. That's, you know, cycle. You must rest. Showed us this pattern. You know, it also means that, you know, whatever it is that we have to deal with cannot last forever. At some point, there must be an end to whatever we are going through. Proverbs is spoken in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 18. You know, the challenges that we are dealing with, however they look like today, they must come to an end. Surely, he said, there is an end. It's got to be an end to it. And your expectation shall not be cut. What should your expectation be? Well, your expectation should be that there is an end to the thing. And that I'm coming into a place of rest. Today, I may have some struggles, but tomorrow, I'll have rest. I mean, you got to have that outlook. Or yesterday, I had some troubles, but today, I'm going to have rest. You know, we got to have that outlook. That's what God wants us to have. There's anxiety when we are in darkness. When we think the Lord is not with us and the Lord is not, you know, speaking, we cover that so that you know that the Lord is speaking. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 30 and verse 5, you know, sorrow endure for a night, anxiety and stress and distress and so on. But surely there's an end to that. It cannot last forever. At some point in time, the day will break. And you know, that night will end. Hallelujah. You know, so, and today, I encourage you to step into his rest. Praise the Lord. So the Lord showed us this pattern of rest. He wants us to have this rest. When we have even physical rest, you know, where we've been instructed that even physical rest, you know, science, medical science and so forth, I will tell you that even physical rest can help you to recoup, even emotionally, mentally, spiritually, otherwise, you know. When we are in distress and anxiety, you know, weakens even our defense systems in other areas. And you're well rested, and then you have, you know, your capacity improves even to be more resilient to some other things, you know. And that's even when we can hear God more clearly. A place of rest. You know, we've spoken about the story of Martha and her sister Mary. How that Martha was encumbered with so many things, running up and down and so on and so forth. I mean, yeah, well, what you were doing might have been good, but, you know, you can read that story for yourself in Luke 10. It's one of those places where it is. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. See, Jesus brought out the fact that she's troubled. You know, she's anxious. I got to serve the guests. I got to do this. I got to do that. So many things are troubling her. You know, anxious about many things. Yeah. But on the other hand, her sister, according to Luke chapter 10, you know, and verse 41 and 42, according to her, the Lord, her sister, chosen the place of rest. You know, and Jesus said, well, that's not going to be taken from her. That's a good part. The one thing that is good, the one thing that's needful, chosen, a place of rest. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, can we physically sit in one place all day long and not do anything else? No. That's not realistic. Even Jesus never did that. He went about doing good. He wasn't sitting in one place. But he had his moments early in the day before the, you know, hustle and bustle start. He will be found on the mount. Had his moments, you know, of gaining that strength and that quietness. And then he stepped out of the shadows and went about doing good. So this doesn't mean that we got to sit in one place all day long, you know, but symbolically, we're in a place where we can hear from God. And that is what brings us rest. Otherwise, we'll be troubled and careful for many things. If you compare and contrast, you know, what is happening here, Martha running about, stressed over, you know, nobody's helping me, and I got to do all these things. The other one, on the other hand, was listening to instructions from Jesus, gaining strength in his presence, and understanding, you know, the assurances of the Lord. And Jesus said, well, this one is needful. The other one, not so much. You know, run around and all these things. It can bring you distress. It can, you know, trouble you if you don't know how to deal with that. That's what Jesus was saying. So this is one of the reasons why God wants us to sometimes even take it easy. Come ye yourselves to a desert place apart and rest for a while. Take it easy. Now, I'm going to tell us some stories, you know, of how rest, you know, when we have rest, I can even advance things in our lives, just rest and quietness, and you know, and so forth. So there is this story, and I want to read it from 2 Chronicles chapter 14. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it with me or just listen. You know, this is the story of Asa, and I'm going to read, you know, maybe 8 verses or so of it. And let's pick up this story. Now, we've told, you know, this story before, but let me tell it again today. This is pertinent to this lesson. Abijah slept with his fathers and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, in his days, that's Asa's days, the land was quiet. 10 years. Now, you know, God gave him rest. 10 years. He didn't have anybody bugging them, coming up against them for war, for trouble, for this, for that. 10 years. The place was just quiet. And Asa did that which was good and right in the sight of the Lord. He took away the strange altars or the strange gods and the high places and break down their images and cut down their groves. He even commanded Judah to serve, to seek and serve the Lord. Isn't that great? You know, you know, as did their fathers. He said, look, you do this, you do the law, you do the commandment. And he took away from out of the cities of Judah all the high places where people go to worship images, and then cut down all these things. The kingdom was quiet before him. Now, during that quietness, it gave him an opportunity to advance and do more. He says, and he built fenced cities in Judah because the land had rest. So you can't be building when you have trouble. I remember the story of Nehemiah, Ezra, and all those people when they were trying to build and repair, and there were trouble on every side. Sambalat, Tobiah, everybody troubling them. They couldn't really, you know, quietly build. But in this case, this man had peace and quietness. Listen to this again. He built fenced cities in Judah in those days, for the land had rest and he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls, towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We sought him and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and they prosper. You can see the advantage of a time of rest here. It actually gave them opportunity for advancement. In a time of rest, you know, this man, because he sought the Lord and the Lord gave him rest, well, he said, well, let me take advantage while there is no trouble. Let me do more. See, so this lesson tells us that when we have rest, we can actually do more for the Lord. And when the Lord gives you rest, well, think about doing more for the Lord. And sometimes we have rest. You may have rest. Maybe you are retired. Maybe you whatever. You know, maybe God gives you a break from a stressful job. You know, you got to think of doing more at that time. When you have rest, that's when you do more. There's a story about David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, the first three verses or so. You know, he had rest. I mean, David was a man of war. He never had rest for most of his time. There was always one problem or the other, you know, either external or even internal within his family or whatever. You know, things were always going on, running from one place to another and so forth, you know. But after some point in time, the Lord gave him rest. And here's what he said. And it came to pass when the king David sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest about him from all his enemies. See, now during that place, time of rest, he looked around and said, wow, look at it. The Lord had given me rest. You know, now I have quietness. Now I got to build. So he wants to expand, he wants to build, he wants to do something more for the Lord because the Lord had given him rest. Say, look, we've been carrying around this tent for the Lord. I want to build the Lord a house. Well, he couldn't think about that when he was running from pillar to post. But when he had rest, then he could think about it. Now, of course, we know that even though he didn't build the house, eventually, he made tremendous provision for Solomon to do it. Praise the Lord. But the thoughts of doing more came to him while he was in a place of rest. He had time of rest. Can't do it when you're running for your life. When somebody's throwing a spear at you and everything, a javelin and so forth, and somebody is going, taking armies to pursue you, you know, can't do that. But when God had given him rest from every side, now all of a sudden, he realizes he can do more. Praise the Lord. That's the time to build. And that's the time to expand. Praise the Lord. You know, so this is the reason why God wants us to have rest. And God has the capacity to bring us into rest. He has the capacity. He invited us. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. You may not know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it because he said he will do it. You know, our problem sometimes is when God invites us to do something in order to have something, we're trying to figure out how God is going to do it. That's not your concern. You come to the Lord and God will do it. You bring your burdens, you know, to the Lord, and the Lord will give you that rest. And that's what he promised. And he's going to do it. So what we want to do today is examine some of the areas where we haven't had rest. And some of the areas where we had trouble or we're still having trouble. And let's consider the things that God said, how that he's going to give us rest. A few months ago, we did a series called The Prophetic Repairs. I remember last week or so, I said, I'm going to be bringing some of these messages back to our remembrance. Prophetic repairs. Take the word repairs as an acronym. REPAIRS. And you'd have to go back and listen. It's a long series, so I can't cover that today, and I have no intention of covering all of that today. However, I want to call out this rest portion, because there's rest in that prophetic series. There are two R's in the word repairs, but it was an acronym given by the Holy Spirit. The first R was release. These are the things that the Lord said. Yeah, release. The E was expansion and exponential growth, gaining new territories and so on. You know, well, let me start again. The release had to do with opening of gates, things that have been held up and obstructed to be released. That's what God said. Expansion, exponential growth, gaining new territories, pushing old limits and gain new territories. The P, you know, was for possession and positioning. The Lord said, you come into your own. So to be a year of possession. And the devil will not be able to dispossess you of the inheritance of the Lord. Even if he looks the other way, you stay with it and you believe it. Now, the A was for acceleration and advancement. These are some of the things, excuse me, that God promised. God's supernatural ability to bring his plans and purposes to pass, you know, for our lives at a faster rate than is humanly possible. That's what acceleration is. God will do something at a rate and it's faster than what you could have done, humanly speaking. And he promised us all these things. Furthermore, the eye was increased through inspiration of the Almighty. That's right. You know, and there's examples of tremendous increase throughout the scriptures. Then the R, this is where I'm really going. The last R is for restoration, recovery, and rest. God did promise it. I will have rest. There's so many promises of rest in the Bible. Rest for our health. Rest for our liberty. Rest from our troubles. Even talk about double for your trouble. Rest from, you know, I mean, depression and hurt. Rest from sorrow. Rest from different things. You know, God said broken relationships, all these things. God promised us rest and even salvation and righteousness. It's a form of rest too. Bring us out of darkness, bring us into light. You know, and not only that, you know, God promised that he will restore. There'll be a restoration of paths to dwell in, you know, part of that rest. Lastly, the S is for successes. A great year of successes that God promised to give us. So that was the prophetic repairs. And I took 2 or 3 minutes there to cover what it took us days, over a week to, you know, to unravel back then. But this is the promise of God. I want us to remember it. So I'm going to wrap up this lesson today. And I call it part one because tomorrow I want to do part two of it, maybe in a different light, and give more opportunity for us to share. But the key thing is God wants us to have rest. Rest is so key to the Lord that he even demonstrated it himself at the beginning. And after doing everything he did, rest means he ceased from his labors. Now, unlike us, God wasn't actually tired, you know, but he rested. He ceased. Now, why do we know that God was not tired? Because the book of Isaiah 40 tells us, hast thou not known, and hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, is neither weary, nor can he get tired. It says in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. So, God did not get tired. But there was something why he rested. You know, he rested because he finished his works. When something is finished, then you rest, whether you are tired or not. If you're done, it's done. You're finished. He finished all his works. He got to the height of his imagination, if you want to call it that. He imagined himself. He created the man in his own likeness. There's nothing else after that. Because he created everything else. Now, finally, he duplicated himself. Let's put it that way. So there's nothing more after that. So he rested. Read it for yourself in verse 28 of Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, fainteth not, doesn't get tired, neither can he get weary. So traditionally, we have been taught that God got tired. That's why he rested on the seventh day. Well, let's debunk that one. God cannot be tired. He cannot be weary. He rested because he finished, not because he was tired. But he demonstrated a pattern for us in that he did that. Now, we can get tired, and we do get tired, but not God. Now, the word rested, to show you that it's something when you come into a place of rest afterwards. The same word, root word that was used, you know, in Genesis, where God rested from his works. The same word was used again in Genesis chapter 8, and verse 4. In this story, we're told of Noah and all the living things in the ark, up and down and so forth, you know. And then the waters began to recede. After 150 days, the waters were abated. And verse 4 says, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the seventh day, upon the mountains of Ararat. The same word, rested. That means ceased, came to a halt. Doesn't mean that the ark was tired. The ark just came to a halt, you know. So rest also means cease from your labors. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 was telling us. Cease from your labors. Put it in God's hands. Let him handle. Praise God. He can do it better than you can do it. Why not trust him with it? And sometimes the Lord will say to us, why didn't you trust me with that? So that's our lesson today of encouraging us to come into his rest. There's another thing that the Lord wants us to experience this year. That's part of this rest that's going to get us there. We need to know the assurance, with assurance in our hearts, that God's able to get us to these things. That's why we've been dealing with the promise blockers, which are called contradictions. We dealt with that the last few days. Now that we've understood how to get those things out of the way, and let's proceed and enter into the rest that God has promised. You can see the stages of how God's leading us through these things. So tomorrow, by the grace of God, I want to do part two of this and tell us some other things that God has also promised for this year. And the way to enter it is through rest. This is how, you know, we advance. This is how Asa advanced, when God brought him into rest and he was able to do more. David also, when God brought him to rest, he wanted to do more. You know, so when God brings us into rest, that's when we can do more. So that's why it is important for us to talk about this rest, this quietness, this assurance forever. Let me round off by reading to you again where we started. Isaiah 32, verses 17 and 18. This is the key text for this lesson. This is what God promised. And this is what he wants us to have. Praise the Lord. He said, you know, the work of righteousness shall be peace. See, this is also for the righteous people, that people shall be all righteous. Well, that, you know, the journey will be in peace. You know, doesn't mean absence of trouble, but it means peace, even in the midst of the storm. Have peace. The effect of that will give you quietness, and you have assurance in your heart. The Lord is there with you. My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. These are promises. So if anything is contrary to that, we got to go back to this word and say, the Lord said, I will dwell. So if there's trouble in your house, the Lord said, I will dwell in peaceable habitation. You bring this scripture to bear upon the situation. The Lord said, I will have quietness and assurance. I will be in sure dwelling places. Nobody is going to chase you or disinherit you, you know, from the inheritance of the Lord. You can't do it, you know. My people shall also dwell in quiet resting places. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word of encouragement to us. And we thank you because you have given us these exceeding great and precious promises of peace, quietness, assurance, and rest. Assurance comes to us from all of your promises. And you want us to be in a place of quietness, a place of rest. Still, I know that I'm God. You granted us, committed this peace unto us. You even told us that you grant us that peace by all means. I pray that everyone in this room will have that understanding. May we experience this rest. He that is entered into his rest has ceased. Rest is a ceasing from, stopping, halting from all the exertion, labors. I pray that the Lord give us rest. Give us quietness, assurance forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.